The Jordan Cove gas project on the Oregon coast took another step forward today with the release of the final environmental impact statement from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC. The plan calls for a plant to convert natural gas to liquid for export at North Bend, with a 230-mile-plus pipeline running to it across southwest Oregon. The LNG project has been controversial from the start, originally designed as an import terminal and pipeline converted to export once the fracking boom began producing a lot of gas here in North America. We scheduled our final guest before we knew for sure the EIS would come out today. It did. George Angerbauer is the public outreach representative for Pacific Connector Pipeline Project of the Williams Companies. George, thanks for joining us again on The Exchange.
Jeff, thank you. It's great to be with you again.
So I understand it did land. The FEIS is out, and it doesn't seem, from what little I've been able to read so far, that it's terribly different from the draft environmental impact statement.
No, the draft EIS is very often indicative of what you will see in the FEIS. Some of the major questions that we had were whether some small alternative routes would be accepted or rejected. It looks like the FERC went with the original proposed route as opposed to the Blue Ridge proposed route in Coos County.
Which again, would have put the pipeline on federal land instead of private?
Yes, but a lot more environmental impact, and we could kind of see that as more data were gathered, and we were asked to do some of that through our contractors, and sometimes the interest of the environment just end up being the deciding factor.
I can read straight from the EIS via The World in Coos Bay. It reads, "We conclude that construction and operation of the project would result in some limited adverse environmental impacts. However, most of these impacts would be reduced to less than significant levels with the implementation of the applicant's proposed mitigation measures and the additional measures we recommend in this EIS." That is in the final environmental impact statement from FERC on the Jordan Cove project. So I imagine things are feeling pretty good at Veresen and Williams.
Well, we've been doing this for over 50 years, almost 60 years in Oregon. A lot of folks don't realize that we operate a natural gas pipeline system across the Pacific Northwest, and we've been somewhat quietly, diligently, and safely operating pipelines that come down, from the Portland area all the way to Grants Pass for almost 60 years, and the reason why you don't hear about them too much is because this is what we do. We're experts at it, and so we do feel good. I wouldn't say that we're terribly surprised because, if you ask an interstate highway, proposal, if they feel good when, there's a need for an interstate corridor and it's approved, they would say, well, yeah, we feel good, but the need is there, and certainly the need is there for this project as well.
So no particular celebration, breaking out of champagne or anything like that?
We still have a long way to go for a lot of permitting, a lot of commercial ground for our partners, Jordan Cove and Veresen. There's not an imminent breaking of ground. There's still a lot of work to be done.
Have crews been hired, though, and equipment arranged to begin the pipeline construction? I mean, are you close enough to be able to do that much?
We're talking about contracting, and we're talking about having what we call a bid show for potential construction contractors. That's later this year, but we have not hired and we have not rented or purchased equipment to do that yet.
And then, George, what's the status of land acquisition, obtaining the rights of way for the pipeline on private land?
That is, of course, a major process, and let me just be clear that we're not acquiring land, and so the term land acquisition isn't exactly what we'd like to say. Well, we're purchasing land rights, easements, and we're seeking to negotiate for the purchase of those easements. We've begun in Coos County simply because that's where some of the most complicated work in and around Haines Inlet would occur. And so we've begun there, and we have about a third of the parcels that we need to acquire easements on. We have about a third of those where we've made agreements with landowners. About a third more have been waiting for this EIS, this final EIS, as a milestone for them to, come to terms with the project as being real. And then a third more are still in negotiations, largely with timber companies and BLM.
Now, we noticed that that concurrent with the process of obtaining rights of way, that there's a grant program that Pacific Connector has been putting out there. What is all that about?
Thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, we in every area that we operate around the country, Pacific Connector becomes just part of the community. Our technicians, the folks that maintain the pipeline safely, live in the communities where we operate, and their families, and they are parts of those communities. So as part of our, I would say not part of our land rights acquisition program, just part of our operations, we start to develop relationships with the members of the community, and part of that is establishing a grant program like we've established here. And in a nutshell, what it is twice a year, we offer up to $5,000 grants for community and charitable organizations that have objectives related to the environment, related to improving the quality of life in communities, education, science, technology, and we make those available. And we have awarded almost 60,000 of those worth of those grants earlier this year. Our next deadline is November 1st. So, you know, anyone who is out there who is listening who knows of a nonprofit organization, community organization, a school that is in need of some funding, please visit our website at www.pacificconnectorgp.com. And you can see our application on the website.
So is the GP, the grant program, a fairly standard offering you make in communities that, that take pipelines?
Yes, and let me just be clear. The Pacific Connector GP, the GP stands for gas pipeline. So that's our...
Darn, it could stand for grant program, too.
Yeah, but you think of it as the grant program. Yes, it is a standard program that we're offering in other projects that we're doing in on the East Coast right now. You know, these are $1 million grants, and you might say, you know, what can someone do for $5,000? But just the other week, I was visiting one of our grantees in North Bend, an elementary school, Jeff, where the teacher she teared up as she told me about the impact that this little. They asked for $2,500, and she said to me that the kids, when they saw these little baskets on their desks with mechanical pencils in them, they were excited to use them and to learn. These are kids who couldn't afford to bring pencils to school. They're, you know, 20 out of 24 students in her class, you know, are on free or subsidized lunches. And she was so grateful for the impact that this small grant was making on her school.
All right. The grant is the grant program certainly runs a contrast to some of the opinions about the project itself. We have a couple of emails here. Boyd and Wolf Creek emails, Jordan Cove and the LNG pipeline are messes in the making. The only profit accrues to a Canadian corporation who exercises eminent domain, leaving private and public landowners with a mess. Wolfgang in Sunny Valley says, your guest is talking about certainly a need here. He says, a need for what? For exporting? And then we have an email, a phone call here from Leslie in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with George Angerbauer, representing the Pacific Connector Gas Pipeline. Leslie,
hi,
go ahead.
Ryan.
Yes.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a two-part question here, and they both relate to what I think is clearly candy-coating this project. I think that the impacts of climate change are going to pose a lot bigger problems for our children than having pencils in school. So my first question relates to your comment on need. You said that Williams has been operating for 60 years and you guys have been safe and helpful to the communities. And there is a side note that Williams does have a track record of pipeline explosions that people can look up. But you said that there's clearly a need for this project. And I just want to make a clear distinction between domestic use of gas, which pipelines do here in the United States, and this project, which is a 235-mile pipeline that would ship fracked gas out to Asia. And it's really just a project for this company in Jordan Cove to make a whole bunch of money selling U.S. gas to Asian countries that are willing to pay three or four or five times greater than U.S. consumers are. And as a result, U.S. consumers are going to pay more for their gas. So all these talking points about how you guys are bringing, you know, gas to the region is a bunch of BS. And then the grant program is also, I think, very clearly just an effort at candy coating. And I wanted to say that offering grants to the community while you're punching a harmful climate chaos pipeline through our forests, private properties, and salmon-bearing streams, to me, is kind of like cutting off someone's hand to steal their gold rings and then giving them cheap plastic earrings for Christmas.
All right. Thank you for the call, Leslie. Appreciate that. So, George, need and grant in that order.
I appreciate the questions and the concern, and I understand that there's a lot of concern about a new project, especially in southern Oregon. I would say that for someone to, you know, call it candy coating of what we're talking about with the grant program is someone's entitled to that opinion, absolutely. But if they visited our office in Eugene, Oregon, where we have our operations for our western Oregon operations for our existing pipeline, they will find that our employees indeed do volunteer in the community. They have children who go to the same schools as your children. They hold leadership positions in the community. They give of their time for the United Way and for a whole lot of community purposes and organizations. We are genuine. We are genuine in this program that we've established, and it's not, as you say, candy coating. You'll find it in our operations all across the country. And if you would say to, you know, the children who can't afford pencils that global climate change is more important than the pencils on their desks, I don't know if they would agree with that. And in terms of the need for the program and the need for the pipeline, I don't know how many of your callers realize that one of Oregon's number one economic activities is exporting goods and services and technology to China. China is Oregon's number one export customer, and it's not something that Oregon is a stranger to. This region used to export a lot of goods overseas. There is a need for economic development in southern Oregon, and I don't think anyone really would argue with that. I think the rhetoric about climate change and the rhetoric about carbon, frankly, by people who drive cars wherever they go, is what we're talking about.
People will certainly have things to say about the final environmental impact statement just out, which appears to clear the way for Jordan Cove and the gas pipeline to go ahead, with some other obvious regulatory hurdles still to come. But there's another issue involving your company. I noticed just this week that Williams Companies is to be acquired by ETE Energy Transfer Equity for $37.7 billion. What effect, if any, on the company, and did Jordan Cove's suspected approval make the company more attractive to ETE?
You know, I really don't know what some of the underlying factors were, except that Williams is doing a lot of work in the energy sector, is one of the most active companies in building energy infrastructure, and I think it's my personal view, it's a testament to the admission in the market acknowledgement that there is a great need to build out our energy infrastructure. Here, the United States is sitting on, you know, vast reserves of natural gas, the cleanest carbon-based fuel, in a situation where just 5 or 6 years ago, we thought we were going to need to be importing, you know, foreign energy in order simply to survive. We are a fan of renewable energy, wind, solar, but the fact is, the genuine advocates of those renewable sources will admit that you just don't have infrastructure for the renewable types of energy, and you can't store them economically. You can store natural gas. It's a perfect complement and a bridge to a portfolio where you have renewable and a sensible combination of renewable and dynamic energy resources like natural gas.
We will see what else happens with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Further approvals expected later this year. George Angerbauer is the public outreach representative for the Pacific Connector Pipeline Project for the Williams Companies. George, thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much.
And apologies to the folks calling in. We did not have as much time as we might have liked for the segment today, just based on availability of guests. So thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.